pastor tell me a little bit of his vision for this church. And I think we should all be excited. We really should be. There's so much potential here for us to grow. And I know the Lord will bless us. Absolutely. So you just stay in prayer for these things. Before I tell you what the title is of my sermon, I don't want to give it away. So let me just start by saying, or asking the question, did you hear on the news this week about the televangelist who asked his followers to help defray the cost of the $54 million jet? What? Oh, you didn't hear that. You were under a rock, were you? Yes. Yes. Another recent story from the Washington Post begins like this, quote, as white evangelicals have been some of President Trump's staunchest defenders, a handful of their leaders find themselves contending with a problem all too familiar with the commander-in-chief, a sex scandal, end quote. Yeah. You know, how often we hear news coverage of scandals, crimes in the church, and just as often we hear people complain or give reason not to attend church, right? Well, you know, you see all the things going on in the church, and it's no wonder, a bunch of hypocrites, right? You know, I had my oldest son years ago told me, Dad, why do I need to go to church? It's a bunch of hypocrites. And I said, son, you come because there's always room for one more. Keep in mind that 89% of adults in this country say they believe in God. Okay? 70% call themselves Christians. And I'm going to talk quickly about four areas of Christianity. Okay, I'm going to give you some statistics here. When it comes to prayer, 55% of Americans pray regularly. And only 63% of Christians say prayer is essential. Let me say that one more time. 63% of Christians, not just people, but Christians say that prayer is essential. And the corollary means that 37% of Christians don't think that prayer is essential. Only 54% of people who pray daily attend church every week. When it comes to church attendance, how many people would you suspect are attending church on a regular basis? Well, we have to answer the question, what do you consider regular attendance? We consider regular attendance to be what? Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, right? Three times a week. Whenever the doors are open. Well, apparently that's not what everybody thinks. Regular attendance today is considered 3 out of every 8 Sundays. 3 out of every 8 Sundays. That's 19 Sundays a year out of 52 weeks. If you attend church 19 Sundays a year, you're considered a regular church attender. 43% of Americans regularly attend church. When it comes to Bible reading, 79% believe the Bible is sacred literature. 61% express a desire to read the Bible more often. That's good. But only 36% of Americans professed to reading the Bible at least once a week. Let me say it again. 36% of Americans profess to reading the Bible at least once a week. And it gets worse. 19% of churchgoers or churchgoing Christians read the Bible daily. 19% of church-going Christians read the Bible daily. And a lot of this comes from Pew Research and some other Christian research polls. 25% of church-going Christians read the Bible a few times a week. And 40% of church-going Christians read the Bible once a month, rarely, or never. When it comes to tithing, Fewer than 10% of churchgoers give 10% or more of their income. To summarize, roughly 75% of us who identify as Christians aren't attending church with any regularity. Of the ones who do, 40% aren't reading the Bible at all, and 90% aren't tithing anywhere near the level the Bible instructs. Isn't that a sad commentary? This evening, I want to look at a different picture, though. We've talked about the bad things, and I want to show a picture of a church that was doing the right thing. The title of the sermon tonight is, What's Right with the Church? So if you're discouraged by what we just talked about, don't be. Don't be. I'm just telling you what it is out there. What I want you to remember is, you do what you do. You come here when the doors are open. You do the things that allow you to grow. And that's what God wants. Let's open up our Bibles to Acts 9:31. Acts 9:31. I'll give you a second to get there. This is where we're going to start this evening. Acts 9:31. Acts 9:31 says, Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. You know, throughout history, Christians have always looked to the church in the book of Acts as a model of what Christ wants in His body. Our verse for this evening sets forth five evidences of a healthy church. And we're going to look at those evidences this evening. The first evidence of a healthy church is what we call a climate of peace. Notice the verse begins with the word then. The context of this verse is the conversion of Saul and the resulting decrease of external persecution of the church. Just to give you some context there. However, peace involves much more than the absence of persecution. Did you know a church can have peace outwardly, but not inwardly? Peace involves absence of conflict, both outwardly and inwardly, and the presence of harmony. You know, a church filled with division will not see multiplication. Now, I think all of us, at some point in our lives, we've experienced that. You guys have in the past, and we came from a church that went through division. And it's an ugly thing. It really is. The climate of peace naturally produces an atmosphere of unity. Let me say that again. The climate of peace naturally produces an atmosphere of unity. Now the question is, are you helping to unify your congregation, or do you create divisions? Now, you know, for us, it might be obvious. Well, of course we do everything to help our congregation. But, you know, there's not always that happens. Sometimes, and you know what, I don't know if you guys remember the guy that came here before, but anyway, there are people that come and they bring disunity to church bodies. Or there's people that they're always negative and they're backbiting. You know what I'm talking about. You have to have a climate of peace for a church to grow. Absolutely. So the second evidence of a healthy church is consistent spiritual growth. Notice the verse says, and were edified. This word literally means to build a house, referring to us, a house of God. The healthy church is one blossoming with spiritual growth in its membership. We grow spiritually through spiritual food and spiritual exercise. Never heard of spiritual food or spiritual exercise? I'm glad you asked. You know, our spiritual food is the regular intake of God's Word, right? If we don't take in God's Word, then how are we going to be healthy spiritually? It's like our bodies. You know, we need so many calories a day. Unfortunately, we often get too many, right? But you know what I'm saying? You have to have intake, and it's got to be good intake. Just because we read things and we put stuff in our mind, it's not necessarily good. There's a lot of garbage out there, just like with the food we put in our body. There's a lot of garbage. So just because you're filling up and you're full, it doesn't necessarily mean it's nutritious. Same thing spiritually. But you know, when we stay in God's Word is nutritious for the soul. And our spiritual exercise is our ministry and service. Now think about that for a minute. As we make that correlation, if we take in food and we take in food and we take in food and we don't do anything with it, what happens? You know what happens. It's easy to do, right? So you have to have the output. Got to have the output. You got to burn those calories. And you know, spiritually speaking, we have to be doing something with what we're bringing in. You know, we mentioned that this morning, didn't we? And it's so important. You know, I've told the analogy of Thanksgiving dinner. We all love Thanksgiving dinner. We wait days for that dinner. And we get there and the turkey's cooking and everything is just, it's so delicious. And we are just chomping at the bit to eat. Can't wait. Picking pieces off as we fry that turkey, right? Man, makes me hungry thinking about it. But you know, after you eat that meal a couple times, it's not quite as appealing as it was the first time, is it? You have to eat about four times. After you pick and pick and eat, just doesn't have, why? Because we're full of it. And you know, oftentimes we get in our churches and we do exactly the same thing where we're sitting in the pew and we're taking in and taking in and taking in. And then all of a sudden, you know, I think I've heard that sermon before. You know, I don't really think I like that song. You know, da 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 da. And we start getting critical. Because we're taking in and we're full and we're not doing anything with it. Right? A church can only be blessed when you have the equal output with the equal input, is my point. So we're looking at consistent spiritual growth. You know, if you're going to grow spiritually, I'm here to tell you it's going to cost you time and effort. Don't be deceived. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7 read, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Just like our human body, to be healthy, as I'm learning, it takes a lot of effort to burn calories. And you know what? When I see that dessert there, my first instinct is, man, that looks good. But you know what? What goes through my mind immediately is, man, that's going to take a lot of work to get that piece off. You know what I'm saying? So you know what? I choose not to. But the point is to be healthy, it takes work. Did you know for a church to be healthy and for a church to grow spiritually, it's not easy. It takes effort. And you know, sometimes we can get in this mode of thinking, you know what, we're already spiritual. You know, we already got it. And you know what, that's a wrong place to be. Because again, as we talked about this morning, we never stop growing. We never stop learning, do we? I don't know, maybe we have. I don't think so. Cost time and effort. A third evidence of a healthy church is compelling spiritual vitality. Acts 9:31 tells us that the New Testament church was walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the church was alive. The church was alive. Spiritual vitality. A clear spiritual dynamic was at work. And distinct characteristics identify a dynamic church. Do we want this church to be a dynamic church? Yeah, absolutely we do. So, the church must live by faith. I know pastors talked about that constantly. Living by faith, trust in the Lord that He's gonna build, He's gonna provide. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We're gonna do some movement through God's word tonight. Hebrews 11, 6. Give you a second to get there. Probably many of you have this memorized. You know what I think is a good thing? And I'll pray about it, and I'm sure pastor is probably praying about it, to have some kind of scripture memory program here. You know, if we're not committing things to memory, then what ammunition do we have in our spiritual weapon to fight the enemy? Right? Oh, I can't memorize stuff. Oh, I'm too old. It's too hard. My brain doesn't. You know what? We can. We absolutely can. Anyway, Hebrews 11, 6, of course, but without faith is it impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The church must live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Turn there real quick. Probably help if I mark things. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Right? So, a second characteristic of a dynamic church: the church must commit to holiness. So let's look back for a second. Church must live by faith. Church must commit to holiness. Ephesians 4:30. Let me get there real quick. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Third characteristic of a dynamic church: the church must depend on prayer. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So these are the dynamics of a church: living by faith, committing to holiness, and depending on prayer. Do we depend on prayer today? Now, that's rhetorical, but do we really? You know, it's easy to go through motions. Well, I'm going to put that on the prayer list. Well, I'm going to pray for you, brother. Do we really depend on that prayer? Do we really trust that God's going to answer that prayer? And sometimes when God delays, well, God's not answering my prayer. And doesn't it feel that way sometimes? But you know, God is. He's just doing it His time. But the point is that as a church, and the church being as individuals, we depend on prayer. That's a cornerstone. And you know what? When I stop and think, man, I don't pray enough. I don't know about you, but I don't pray enough. When I read in Luke that Jesus went on the mountain in 12 hours, He prayed. 12 hours. He prayed all night. And He went down the next morning and chose His disciples. 12 hours. And here I am for 30 minutes and I'm feeling, man, you know. You know what I'm saying? That's lucky if it's, I'm being honest with you, it's lucky if it's 30 minutes. But my point is, that's how things get done, is through prayer. Without these components, our church would be dead. Are we making progress in these areas? I hope so. So let's phrase it another way. Because the church is made up of us, we should be asking the question, A, do I live by faith? Have I committed to holiness? And finally, do I depend on prayer? And I think if we stop and we're honest with ourselves, we say, you know what, there's room for improvement. And you know, just doing a little bit more tomorrow than we did today, that brings us closer. And I think God honors that. Listen, my goal is not to beat anybody up. If I were going to beat somebody up, I'd beat myself up. And trust me, as I put together these messages, as anyone does when you're teaching or you're preaching, you're the first one the finger comes back to. Boy, am I doing that? Am I? So I'm not here to make you feel bad, because I'm just challenging you. I'm challenging you. You know what? Coaches challenge their athletes. Do they not? Do they push them to the point where they're like, I can't take it anymore, coach. I can't take it. You're killing me. And sometimes it seems like we just don't get put. We're comfortable. Well, that pastor better not push me. But you know what? Sometimes we do need to be pushed. I need to be pushed. So listen, when pastor pushes, or when anybody pushes, when your Sunday school teacher pushes, don't be offended by that. Because we do it out of love, because we recognize that that's what we need. You don't complain when your parents push you to do something, because they know what's better for you. And I look at it like that. I'm not your mom and your daddy, but you know what I'm saying. You know, oftentimes we come in time after time and we listen to the sermons or we listen to the lesson and we nod our head in agreement. But what happens? Check that one off the list. I made another Sunday. Boy, I was sure faithful to get in church today. But what did we really do with what we were taught? What did we really do with what was preached that day? Did we do anything with it? Again, I get so excited hearing some of the bits and pieces of pastors' goals and plans for our church. And I pray that the Holy Spirit comes in and does a stirring. Do you ever pray for that? Do you pray that the Lord just does one of those? You know what I'm saying? That's what we need. But you know what? If we're not living by faith, and if we're not committed to holiness, and we're not dependent on prayer, then you know what? Our church is on life support. Nobody wants to see anybody on life support. Because you know what? Without that plug being in the wall, they're dead. And it's easy for a church to be on life support. I will leave that one alone. You know what I'm saying? You know, at least you're here tonight to hear from God's Word. I wish others were here tonight. I can't do anything about that. But you know, I thank the Lord that each of you are here. I really do. So anyway, a fourth evidence of a healthy church is consistent numerical growth. The New Testament church was multiplied. A healthy church with experience consists of numerical growth. That's part of the process. Not numbers for numbers' sake. You know, we see that, don't we? Well, there's a lot of churches out there that have tens and thousands of people. And you know what? I'm not taking anything because I'm not at those churches. But you know what? All I know is there's an element of this society out here, outside of these walls, that they don't want to hear from this word right here. They're offended by it. Who are you to preach at me? Telling me I live this way and that way. Well, you know, I'm just telling you in love what God's word says. But my point is that it's easy to bring people into a building. It really is. Not numbers for numbers' sake, but because numbers represent people and people matter to God. And you know what? It probably breaks your heart as much as it does mine when we're driving out of our neighborhood in the morning and at night on Sunday and our neighbors are cutting the grass. We need to reach people for Christ. But you know what? As we saw the numbers before, it's easy to say that we're Christians, but what does that really mean? We need our neighbors to look at us differently. We need them to see that salt and the light, right? A healthy church is a church where lives are changed by the gospel. That's a church that sees consistent numerical growth. Now, there are settings where a church is reaching people and not growing numerically. There's areas of rapid decline in population. A church may reach many for Christ and not see a numerical increase. But you know, for most churches, however, this is not the case. Churches should be growing. And you know what? Our church is growing. Maybe not sometimes as quickly as we want it to be, right? Don't we get frustrated? Because, man, we share our faith with our friends and our neighbors. But you know what? When we get back to the fundamentals, when we get back to the fundamentals of these things we talked about earlier, that's what allows our church to be in a position where God will grow it. Right? So, a fifth evidence of a healthy church is a consuming God focus. A key phrase in our verse is, walking in the fear of the Lord. Did you know that walking involves a way of life? A perpetual lifestyle attitude. Being God-focused. And the fear of the Lord portrays an idea of being afraid to offend God. Are we afraid to offend God today? You know, based on what we hear on TV oftentimes, I don't think so. Walking involves a way of life. I want us to be a consuming God-focused church. Church is easy to get caught up in programs. And you know, every church has to have programs. I get that. Right? We have to. But you know, sometimes we get the cart in front of the horse and that's what drives things are programs. And it's not programs, it's people. Right? A healthy church seeks God's will above all else. A healthy church seeks God's will above all else. So the question is, we talked about it this morning. We have to know what God's will is. And that involves seeking it to begin with. But eventually we should know. We should know what God's will for this church is. Because it's really just made up of God's will for individuals. Right? A church that pleases God is a church where people honor Christ. And they honor Christ, A, in their daily conduct. Now listen, that doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect all the time. None of us are. But we strive. We strive to be pleasing in His sight. He can't use us if we're not. If we say, you know what? I can do whatever I want to do. Tithing. We want to be pleasing. A church that pleases God is a church where the people honor Christ in their thoughts. Let's turn to Philippians 4:8 real quick. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think or meditate on these things." A church that pleases God is a church where the people honor Christ in their thoughts. Do your thoughts honor Christ? They should. Do my thoughts honor Christ? They surely should. Do they always? No. No, but I'm just being honest with you. I think we're going to be honest with ourselves. They don't always honor Christ, but I strive to. We strive to. Church that pleases God is a church where people honor Christ in their deeds. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 7:1. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God," in their deeds. And finally, a church that pleases God is a church where people honor Christ in their words. Ephesians 4:29. And my wife will know this one right off the top of her head. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." It's very easy to let this thing right here let stuff out that's dishonoring to the Lord and dishonoring to each other. We memorized not just that verse, but the rest of that chapter, 29, 30, 31, and 32, because it was a reminder to us, and it still should be, how careful we need to be, that what comes out of here better be pleasing to the Lord. In fact, let me go ahead and read all those because it's that important. We read 29, 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness," 31, "and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I would encourage you, memorize it. Of course, if I could memorize the whole Bible, I would. Because there's so much there. But anyway, this is practical stuff. A church that pleases God is a church where people honor Christ in their words. So the conclusion of all this, you know, in the face of all the problems in the church and in society, did you know that we can be part of the solution? Do you believe that? But you know what? I'm just one person. What can I do? You ever ask that? Or you ever use that as an excuse? I know I have. What can I do? I'm going to tell you what you can do. You can commit yourself to help and build the the church that God wants you to build here. And that involves cleaning up your life, living for Him, doing these things that He wants you to do. That's the key. And you know what? As we do it individually, then corporately, that builds our church. The church does do good things. The church is vital. God instituted the church for a reason. Not to be Sunday country club, but to bring people in. We feed them. Feed you. Feed me spiritually. And equip us to go out into a lost world that needs to know who this Jesus is. And we do that many, many ways. We talked about that this morning. How do we do that? Many ways. This is a living, breathing organism here, this church, every church. And you know, it's so easy to get caught up in this saying, well, you know what? This church behind us over here, we don't really agree with da-da-da-da-da. But you know what? That's Jesus' church too. And those people there, I'm sure they love the Lord just like we do. And instead of focusing on those differences, I tell myself we need to focus on similarities. We need to remind ourselves that Christ died for all of us. And all those secondary issues, you know, at this point, they don't really matter right now. But we get caught up in them, don't we? So again, the real question is, will you commit yourselves to help build that type of church here? I will. You know what? When we walked into this church for the very first time, you see things and you make observations. I'm sure many people do. And it's very easy to make any kind of observation. But I'm going to tell you what I saw when I came into this church. And that's why it only took one time for the Lord to tell me, this is your new home. Because I saw the potential that if we humble ourselves to the Lord and we really seek His face, honestly, not just going through motions, but we really seek His face, the Lord will bless us. And we want to be part of that. And that's exciting. I want you to be excited today. I want you to be excited next week and every week, Sunday morning and Sunday night, when Pastor comes up here and he's talking about this vision that he has. I want you to be excited about that. And well, we just, you know, it's just same old, and nothing's going to change. You know what? Things will change. Man, I can't wait for God to continue outpouring blessing on us. But it's going to take us doing our part. So, it's been said that there are three kinds of people in the world. There are those who make it happen. There are those who watch it happen. And then there are those who wondered what happened. Which one are you today? Which one are you today? Will you commit today to being part of that first group, the ones who make it happen? Will you be? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just want to bless You. Father, we just want to honor You through our actions, through our heart. Father, sometimes the things that we talk about can be uncomfortable. But all we want to do is please You. We want You to bless us individually, and we want You to bless this church. Father, it's my prayer today as we've talked about what constitutes a healthy church, that You would give us a laser vision on what we can do to change things in our own lives, to be more of a part of the church, and to just reflect Your love and Your goodness to those around us. Father, I'm so excited for the potential that we have here at Coastal Shores. And I can't wait to see your outpouring of blessing. Not that you haven't already. Father, thank you for the opportunity to open your word, something that men have given their life for in the past, to just own a copy of it. And here we have it in multiple form. Father, give us a hunger daily to want to open your word and drink it in. And Father, remind us that as we drink that word in, that we have a responsibility. We're held to a higher account because of the more we know. Father, help us daily to be the salt and the light, to be people that are well-pleasing, that someday you will tell us, well done, my good and faithful servant. Father, help us to put away sin in our lives. Help us deal with the daily struggles to where we can just be more like you. Father, thank you again for the opportunity just to be here and open your word. I just pray that it sinks in deep. We're promised that your word will never return void. And I stand on that promise today. Father, bless Pastor and just bring him and Miss Connie back safely at the duly appointed time. Father, as our week has begun, remind us daily that we can make a difference in the world we live in. Take us home safely. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.